Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Taco to go, taco to,
and a big queue.
Taco to go,
taco to go.
We just review.
Quick Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't
taco,
lose.
Taco to go, taco to,
this deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
Taco to go.
Brian Geltzeiler joining us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, Sirius XM NBA Radio, NBA TV, at B Geltz NBA on Twitter. Brian, thank you for joining us this morning.
My pleasure, guys. How we doing?
We're doing well, except I think we're kind of stuck right now.
We're not doing well, Brian. We're watching teams play right now in the Eastern Conference Finals, where we thought it was a given that we would be there the entire year,
right,
and we didn't get out of the second round of the playoffs.
Never mind,
again.
Brian. We're not doing well. We're doing really bad right now, Brian.
We're getting LeBron calls.
It's horrible.
Brian. We're getting LeBron returning calls.
We have to dump right now, Brian. That's how bad it is.
It's rough, guys. I get it. Listen, you kind of felt like you've been past this LeBron stuff, right? And all of a sudden, these rumors, and I don't know where they come from. And some of it's nuts to me. When the whole thing starts with, well, if LeBron decides he's willing to take a league minimum, are you kidding me? Like, when's LeBron taking a league minimum? Absolutely patently absurd. Not going to happen. And listen, there's things the Cavs can do here in this offseason to change this roster to make it a little more matchup friendly. But I think the Cavs have to look at that, and I don't think LeBron should be any part of that. Nor, by the way, do I think he will be any part of that. I think the Lakers situation is a very positive one for him, and probably next to Luka gives him his best chance to win, if he does have a chance to win between now and retirement, whenever that actually happens.
Go ahead,
Brian.
Tom.
The Cavs, you know, Ken asked me earlier in the show about whether or not I thought they were more talented than the teams playing today, and I said yes. And I wasn't going to change my mind just because they lost. I do think they are more talented than the Pacers, and I think they're more talented than the Knicks. So why is it that they're sitting at home right now?
Well, a couple things. Number one, the Cavs were banged up in that series, and Garland's foot was bad, and Mobley was dealing with an ankle issue. And listen, Mitchell wasn't totally healthy. But with all that said, I do think there's an underlying issue that happened with the Cavs during the season, where the Cavs, in thinking that they were just keeping guys healthy and fresh, they rested guys at times with little knick-knack injuries. And I think when you do that and then come playoff time and guys have knick-knack injuries, they don't necessarily know how to play with those types of injuries and be able to push through. And I do think there's a little bit of a mental and physical toughness issue with the Cavs. And I know it's something that's being addressed in-house right now, because I think they see it too. So that's the mentality right now, saying, okay, the Cavs are definitely more talented than both of these teams are left. But nonetheless, Indiana disposed of them quickly. And I also think there's a roster construction issue with the Cavs. And I don't know that it's an easy fix. And I think they can't fix both issues. They have to lean into one or the other. And it's obviously the two bigs and two small guards. Well, which one do you keep? Which one allows you to match up better with, let's face it, the two teams that are playing right now? Because those are going to be the two that you're probably going to have to go through next year. We're staring down the barrel of Boston in a transition year and not having Tatum the entire year and having to figure out how to get out of their financial quagmire. And I think these are the two teams you look at. And maybe if that's what you're going to – if those two teams that you look at and how to match up, I think the move is an Allen trade to –
The best players remaining right now in the series in the Eastern Conference are Jalen Brunson and Tyrese Halliburton. Do I have to now put them ahead of Donovan Mitchell in the pecking order of best Eastern players?
No, I don't think so. Listen, I think you have to, by the way, I don't know if it's fair to bring up Brunson as one of the best players available without mentioning Karl Towns as well. because the Knicks would be buried right now without what he just did in the fourth quarter of that game, and that was mostly done with Brunson on the bench. So I want to be fair about that, too. With all that said, in a Cavs lens, no, Mitchell's better than both of those guys. And listen, Mitchell had a better year than both those guys. Now, again, that Brunson thing could flip next year, and Halliburton's probably closer than most Cavs fans want to acknowledge to Donovan Mitchell. But as I was saying earlier, guys, I think trading Allen for some wing depth and another starting wing that can step in and start next to Hunter is the move. Like, when you look at how you're going to match up better with these teams, having, like, for example, and this is not, you know, I don't want to be aggregated on this because this is not intel more than speculation and just kind of, you know, throwing out ideas, but even something like Allen to the Warriors for Kuminga and Moody. Give you wing depth, give you size that starts, and you match up much better with the Pacers and the Knicks that way. Because that's the thing. When you look at the Cavs roster construction, the lack of having those multiple wings, the Tatum and Brown, the Anunoby and the Bridges, even to a lesser extent here, what you're seeing with the Pacers with guys like Siakam, Nesmith, and Nembhard, and Halliburton being a long guard, you do need some more length on the perimeter if you're the Cavs. And a couple things that you've learned, you can count on Hunter. Jerome's not going to defend in a big spot. I don't know that bringing back guys like Merrill and Okoro are going to solve the kinds of issues that they had. Talent-wise, you know, on both ends of the floor at those wing spots, and really Allen, to me, maybe the sacrifice, because I do think that you have so much dynamic shot-making potential out of Garland and Mitchell, and they found something together this year, and I think that's something you want to tap into deeper, not get rid of. Almost by process of elimination, talent-wise, I think splitting the bigs is probably the offseason move.
We've had multiple years now where Darius Garland plays terrific, all-star level, heck, all-NBA level for much of the season, and then it fell off a cliff, and then he got injured, and the playoffs were really bad. So whether it's injury or whether it's just his limitations as one of the smaller point guards in the league, is it something that we officially have to start to think about pivoting from at some point?
A little bit. I mean, listen, again, I just gave you the two considerations. Break up the bigs, break up the guards, right? So you have to look at that option. And I think some of that, guys, listen, I'm predisposed to break up the bigs. I think there's a market for Allen out there. And again, I love the Garland-Mitchell combination. I think there's playoff potential. Good players for healthy. With all that said, if you go out on the trade market and start to throw both names out there and find that the returns on Garland are outsized and enormous, you have to consider that too. I think you do have to make one substantial change to the top end of this roster. But if you're not going to see value in, I wouldn't move Mobley. I know there's been Mobley for Giannis rumors. I to me, that's a starter if I'm the Cavs, and I love Giannis. But you know, you have to me your young core here that you want to build around is Mitchell, Mobley, and Garland in that order. So I wouldn't go near that. But if you're talking about splitting the bigs, which is what I am talking about, the guy that moves to me is Jared Allen.
I think a lot of people agree with you on that, Brian. Do you believe that there's a bigger market then for Darius Garland than what I might have thought? Because, you know, we always keep saying, we need a wing, we need a wing, we need a wing. But, and people are quick to trade Darius Garland for a wing, but I'm thinking, who wants to get Darius Garland and give up their dynamic wing? Is there a market then for Darius? Am I wrong?
No, I think there's a market for Darius Garland. I think there could be a significant market for Darius Garland. I think a team like Brooklyn would look at a young guard like Darius Garland and say, heck, we'll pay up for him. And so there's teams that would do that. I think you've lost a few in the market. Listen, the Spurs trading for De'Aaron Fox and then having a number two pick here, which looks likely to be Dylan Harper, that takes them out of the market for him. But you can listen, a team like Sacramento could use a guard like that, has a couple of pieces that potentially Cleveland could use. Like, there's a market for him. There would be a significant market for him. It's not, I don't look at him as being a bad or a toxic contract, because hand the guy the ball as a lead guard and he's an excellent high pick and roll guard, can make shots, makes passes, makes a lot of the right decisions, and with the right defensive infrastructure, he's easily hidden. I think one of the things that you look at with him with the Cavs is that he's really not a good defensive player. And by the way, Donovan Mitchell has moments where he's not a good defensive player. And sometimes hiding both of those guys, especially in a playoff setting, becomes difficult. And we did see that in the Pacers series. Now, in all fairness, Garland was not a healthy player in that series. So I don't know that it's a fair appraisal of what he is defensively, but we do know defensively he's not in the upper echelon of defensive guards. So that is certainly a problem. But again, I do think there would be a vibrant market for him because of his age, because of what he's achieved at a young age, and because of his immense talent. He's also the type of guy, and I think this year kind of made his reputation, improved his reputation around the league, where the thought was he was going to ask out if Donovan Mitchell was signed to an extension. He was very open-minded about what Kenny Atkinson could do with both of them together, and it worked out, and he was a willing and enthusiastic participant in it working out. So I don't think teams would turn away from him from that standpoint. It's a long way of me saying I think the market for him would be pretty good if that's the direction they decided to go to.
Hey, what do you think about the state of the NBA? We're talking to Brian Geltziler right now. Terrific breaking this stuff down. 7 champions in 7 years. The physicality that we are seeing in the playoffs and the amount of parity that it just seems like more teams have a chance to win the championship than I can ever remember. How do you feel about the state of affairs?
I like it. I say I like it. And I go forward with caution because I wonder if the Board of Governors and the large majority of the owners of the league are going to like it. I wonder if the TV networks that just ponied up the amount of money they ponied up are going to like it. Because ultimately, when this new CBA was put in with this second apron, the underlying object of it, the overarching object of it, was parity. They wanted the second apron to function as a hard cap. And guys, it has. It's really deterring teams. Teams are doing what they have to do to stay out of the second apron because of the handcuffs it puts on you in adding to your roster and improving your roster. So when you do that, when you put a hard cap effect on a collective bargaining agreement and on a salary cap, you're going to get more parity. And that's what we have right now. We have more parity. But what's the stomach of the Board of Governors for an OKC-Indiana final? That's the big question. Listen, an OKC-New York final, having New York in it, they'll be thrilled. That's great. But an OKC-Indiana final, 2 smaller markets, and listen, I think it'll still do a decent rating. It'll be wonderful basketball, 2 teams that are fun to watch. But how many of the local regional casuals is that bringing in? Not the volume it would with a team like New York. So are the bottom line numbers going to be there? And if they're not, how's the Board of Governors going to feel? Because if this is what's going to happen, and again, we have a good 4 more years in this CBA till we negotiate it out. If this becomes parity is the norm here, I could see a pivot, you know, with the Board of Governors leaning towards back helping the big markets that want to spend more. And that's the one thing. If you wanted to spend more, they were going to punish you for spending more in the CBA. And this is a result of that. They're getting what they went after. They are. The question is, do they want what they went after? They're about to find out.
Well, I'll tell you this, Brian. It's not just that. And the thing about the markets, obviously true, certainly. I wonder the issue of, hey, you've had more parity, but you also have less villains. Like, there's people on dominant teams that people want to eventually see lose, and I'm not getting that. And I think that does hurt it a little bit. Like, if the Yankees do well, okay, fine, it's a big market, but there's also a hate that everybody has. Everybody thinks they're a rival with the Yankees. Everybody thinks they're a rival with the Lakers or with the Celtics or even with the Cowboys who want to do football, but I think it's really proven to be with Kansas City. A lot of people are tired of seeing them win. So now you don't have, like, a underdog story of anybody going up and beating these great teams, like we saw even with the Heat and the Spurs getting them and the Dallas Mavericks getting them. And I think that takes its toll after a while.
Well, and to be fair, I think the league's in transition right now. I think there's an old guard that's kind of, you know, I can't, stepping aside is the wrong word, an old guard that's being moved aside by a younger revolution of player that's coming in here. And I think Oklahoma City represents a lot of that. With all that said, you're always developing new villains in the NBA. I mean, Tyrese Halliburton stood in the middle of the court at Madison Square Garden and did the choke sign on a game-tying jumper to put the game in overtime. You know, he's a scourge of the Garden fan.
I had to hide my kids. That was a very sad display, Brian. I was outraged.
I hear you, but that's the point. You talk about not having the types of villains. That's a villain. right there on the floor. That's a guy that's willing to do that in front of the entire Madison Square Garden crowd. Listen, Anthony Edwards is a big, big trash talker. You know, they're about to lose this series down 3-1. A lot's going to turn on him. 2 years in a row, a conference final, hasn't been able to get through. There may be a little bit of an angry villain status being attached to him. I think all of this plays out in an organic fashion is my point. You're going to get those villains at a certain point in time. We're just really, we're in it. Listen, this is Indiana and Minnesota's second consecutive trips to conference finals for both teams. They're kind of planting their flag a little bit. And between Halliburton and Edwards, both of them have the kinds of guys that can be that villain with the right rival on the other side. Now, you want to say to me, is Oklahoma City the right rival on the other side from Minnesota? Maybe not, because they're a team that's kind of vanilla and doesn't have, you know, they're a great team to watch, but in terms of off-court dynamics, they're just, they don't have those types of personalities. With that said, they're a very together group. But listen, Halliburton's got the right enemy. Being an enemy in Madison Square Garden in New York, that's as big as it gets. Ask Trae Young. It put him on the map a while back, four years back. And again, there's been, you know, from Reggie Miller to wherever you want to go in terms of what has been a rival in Madison Square Garden, Halliburton's put himself on that radar. So I think part of it is a transition, and you'll get those rivalries and those villains to happen somewhat organically.
Brian, 20 seconds. Who is the face of the NBA right now?
You know, I always have a tough time with that question. To me, I think Nikola Jokic is the face of the NBA right now. I don't buy the fact that it can't be a foreign player. I think Jokic is the best player in the league. I did vote for SGA for MVP because I thought he was the MVP this year. But there's no doubt, I think Nikola Jokic is the face of the league. I really do. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that because of the unselfish nature of his game and how he plays and how much people attached to the league love to watch him play basketball and his attitude. He's the face of the league right now. If you want to say that belies a significant problem because of the fact that he's not all that media savvy, you can say that, but I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that him as the face of the league it's a healthy league right now. I don't think there's a lot of problems with this league at all. I think it's been a fantastic playoff, and Jokic is the face of the league is something I'm very comfortable with.
Brian, thank you very much for the time. All the best.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely outstanding stuff for Brian Geltzeiler on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He says Jokic is the face of the league. Do you think I agree or disagree with him?
I think you'll disagree.
John Halliburton's going to be back for Game 4 tonight. The father of Tyrese Halliburton.
Is that right?
Yeah. You think of that?
Who's he going to get into it with?
John Starks.
Biggest bounce back by something named Halliburton since.
Okay. Come on. It was a long time ago.
Moving on, bud.
So is he going to be sitting courtside, or are they going to stick him up there by Caitlin Clark and the Witness Protection Program?
She is out for the next couple of weeks.
The WNBA ratings. Should put their season on pause.
I want to see the ratings.
They should legitimately put the season on pause, not play another game until she comes back. She is the whole league.
I want to see the ratings because some of the complaints, I want to go, that's why. That's why you got none right there. Because I imagine, I want to know, what's going to be the fever get-in price? I got to have a home game between then, right?
Oh, can you imagine?
What's the get-in price?
Can you imagine if you bought tickets expecting to see her?
She's a totally different animal. But John Halliburton will be in attendance. At least he's allowed to be in attendance for Game 4 tonight, as the Pacers still have a 2-1 lead over the New York Knicks. Brian Geltzeiler joined us just moments ago. I asked him, who is the face of the league?
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years, guaranteed, on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Taco to go, taco to,
and a big cue.
Taco to go, taco to go.
We just review.
Quick Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big cue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose.
Taco to go, taco to,
this deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
Taco to go.
To me, I think Nikola Jokic is the face of the NBA right now. I don't buy the fact that it can't be a foreign player. I think Jokic is the best player in the league. I did vote for SGA for MVP because I thought he was the MVP this year. But there's no doubt. I think Nikola Jokic is the face of the league.
You said I would disagree.
I figured you would because...
Why? Because he's foreign?
You know what? I don't know what it is because he's amazing. He delivers every game. Every time you see him do magical stuff, all the passing of Magic Johnson... All the scoring of the best center, from Hakeem Olajuwon to Shaq. Like, he scores with David Robinson with the best of the centers I've ever seen in NBA history. And yet, it doesn't seem like he is some big draw.
He is not.
It's weird.
I think right now that he would be he would be the face of the league, but I think it's something that's very easily taken away. To me, the face of the league is still LeBron. Now, I'm based in Cleveland, Ohio.
Boy.
I can't run away from his
ghost.
That's
not good for the NBA.
It's not good for the NBA. But if he wants to say, if Brian wants to say, and I'm not saying that Brian's wrong. If you want to say that Jokic is the guy, I would tend to agree. I think that he is, in so many ways, like some of the older guys who watch basketball. I think there's been so many times where I think that we've been almost led astray by some of the big names in the NBA, the guys who we've wanted to make the face of the game for whatever reason. I mean, it's interesting to me that there seems to be this feeling that these guys have a love, like a romance with the game of basketball. I told you the point where I'm annoyed by it. Like, you can't just love basketball. I mean, you gotta make love to the game. And then they don't want to play during a regular season game in December. Like, no, I love basketball, but I don't love it enough to go out there and play. And I think some people get upset about that. With Jokic, Jokic seems to have other things he wants to do. And it's very much a job. Now, that doesn't sound very good because to play in the NBA is a fantasy for most people. But it does seem like, hey, he has passion for Serbian basketball, for his home area. And I think he comes here as the job would intend, and that's where it stands.
But it's weird,
and I'm
right?
fine with that. But I think it's just a mantle that can be easily taken. I don't disagree with Brian, but I also feel that it's something that somebody could just easily yank away from him.
But think about it. I think you're right there. Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, they love basketball. They love the game. They're American. They're not the face of the game right now either. Giannis, we've talked about it in all the trade discussions. Giannis, top three, top four MVP for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Is he must watch? Like, it still seems like people want to watch Steph Curry. They want to watch LeBron.
Yes. It was the highest rated game during the regular season up until what? Was it through the whole year?
Was that the Christmas?
Yes.
The Christmas game?
Yes.
Not any of the young guys. I mean, like, we love watching Donovan Mitchell, but nationally, Donovan Mitchell is not. I mean, I've said he looks like Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade, people loved.
Donovan is.
I don't know what it is that Donovan is not more popular.
Donovan is respected as a player, but I think that Donovan, as a fans respect Donovan, but I don't think that Donovan is that superstar. I know that they've written articles possibly about him being the next face of the NBA. I just don't think that that's going to, for a multitude
again,
of reasons,
he's not a
I just don't know if that's going
to
happen.
You need to have some villainy in you too, right?
Yes.
Or you have to have some theatrics. And Donovan Mitchell doesn't really do any of that other stuff. And really, Donovan does not, he seems like a normal guy. He doesn't show you a lot off the floor.
But I think the guys that we wanted to make the next face, they just didn't pan out. Like, Ja Morant, he's either injured or suspended. Zion.
Yeah, the Zion, Ja Morant.
We can talk about Zion all day long.
Both of them have been massive disappointments.
About what big a disappointment they are. I think it's still LeBron, man. I think that so many people, good, bad, ugly, I think he's still the face of the NBA. Whether people agree with that or like that or whatever, I think that's beside the point. I mean, there's things that you can like and dislike. There's guys who are villains that are faces of their sport. There's guys that are well-loved that are faces of their sport. And I think there's pockets of everything with LeBron.
Did any of you care to see Wembanyama this year? Were any of you intrigued before he got injured?
No. You tried to talk me into it, and I tried. No. Nope.
So what is it that somebody said they think he's 7'6" now?
I don't know what it is. Oh, he's growing.
Shooting three. Yeah, seriously.
Okay.
Shooting threes from 30 feet, blocking every shot. I mean, he had games with double-digit blocks.
I tried. I forced it.
And I tried to force it, and I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. I don't know what it is. I'm much more interested in watching Evan Mobley. That's fish in a barrel. I'm more interested in watching Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I'm much more interested in watching Zion Williamson and wondering what the hell happens with him. Ja Morant and why he can't get his head out of the clouds. Than I am interested in watching Victor Wembanyama.
Do you think maybe just to investigate this further?
It's a hard name to say quick.
Stylistically, because the regular season, so many teams look like they're trying to do the same thing. Space out the floor, shoot the three. That even though in the playoffs we've seen more of an identity, the mid-range game has come back in the playoffs, that in the regular season, so many of these teams, the games look and their styles look so similar that it takes away some of the individual stuff. Like Shaq played unlike anybody else. You could say he was the face of the league for a few years. Even before him, like Allen Iverson, there were a few years. Then Kobe.
Then why did I still stop the channel?
They all played differently.
Then why would I still stop the channel on a Friday or Saturday or whenever when I could see them play and see and watch Steph Curry and Golden State? Why would I do that? They're the ones that ushered in the style of basketball that we're seeing right now.
He was the only one doing it at the time.
I understand that, but he's still the guy I want to see out of any of those other names that you mentioned. He's still the name that and I hated Steph Curry for a while, just like every other Cavs fan did. And I still was like, oh, Steph Curry's playing. I'm going to sit here and watch Steph Curry play. I will sit there and watch LeBron play if I get the chance to watch LeBron. Again, they play at 10:30 p.m. most nights, so you don't get a lot of chances to see LeBron other than on the weekend games, things like that. I will stop and I will watch them. I'm sure there's a couple other guys here and there. Joel Embiid, I will stop and watch. Giannis, I will stop to watch. But some of the other guys, no. And even some of the younger guys, not really.
Has it watered down the fact that guys like, for instance, Aaron Nesmith can come in and in an Eastern Conference Finals game can go 8 of 9 from three?
No.
And that every team has a guy like that.
I don't think it does.
Like, you did not have that when I was young. It was not possible for no-namers to hit 8 threes in a game. And now Gary Trent in the playoff game for Milwaukee hit like 9 threes in a game.
It makes it more frustrating for me, but I don't think if I'm playing against him, but I don't think it does. I just know he's not a star. Like Aaron Nesmith is not a guy that
I'm paying
money to go see.
What I meant by bringing him up as an example is if that guy can do that, doing something that when we were young, that would be the best shooter in NBA history that could hit 8 threes in a game. Now, how many teams in a league have a player who could conceivably hit 8 threes in a game?
I don't know.
I feel like every team has one guy, if not two.
Yeah, I guess a lot, but I don't know why.
So does that water down what we think is greatness in today's NBA?
Maybe. I'm looking for personality in so many ways. Like Steph Curry, there's personality there. LeBron, clearly there's personality. Some of these guys, I don't get much personality out of them. It's like they're hiding from the spotlight. So I wish I could tell you there's a reasoning behind it. Like Nikola Jokic, he rarely talks, but when he does, there's personality. He is very sarcastic, very deadpan in the jokes that he makes when he's sarcastic about it. I like the way he acts towards the media. It's not mean-spirited. It's not like Bobby Knight or anything, but he's just very a matter-of-fact with it. And there's a lot of things that you can like about the guy. There's a lot of things that you can like, again, about Steph Curry, but we're talking about a guy who's pushing 40. There's a lot of things that we can like about LeBron. He's over 40. Kevin Durant, I found Kevin Durant to be delightful. As long as he's not on my team, I found him to be delightful.
He's fun on social media.
I think he's fun on Twitter. I saw what he said to Gary Payton. I thought it was hilarious. Hate to say, but also true. I'm finding him to be a blast. He's also a guy pushing 40. So I don't know. Maybe it's an ageism sort of thing with me. And I'm not going the way I'm supposed to go, where there's somebody is going to have to take the mantle. Somebody is going to have to do it. But who deserves it? I've already seen, I grew up with arguably the two greatest of all time. And then the man who was in between them, Kobe Bryant, still top five. Who else is supposed to touch that right now? Who else can take that? I don't know. I don't think any of them are really capable of it right now. The guys that we anointed were not ready to do so.
Here, Chris Ronan.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Taco to go, taco to,
and a big Q.
Taco to go,
taco to go.
Quick trip taco just $2.99.
Comes with a big Q, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go, taco to,
this deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go,
$2.99.
County executive, almost said county commissioner. County executive, 923thefan.com, spent what, an hour with Daryl over the weekend? Him and Chris Harsh from the Cleveland City Council person. They were both in studio with Daryl about the stadium. Have you changed your mind? Has anybody flip-flopped over what they want to do with the stadium?
I think the part...
If you were pro-dome, are you anti-dome? If you were anti-dome, are you pro-dome now?
I would love a dome. I want to make sure that we've exhausted every avenue.
Oh, we're exhausting. It's exhausting, all right.
I want to make sure that we've exhausted every potential avenue in downtown Cleveland. Because I get it from a negotiating standpoint. A lot of the stuff that's being said and the harshly worded letters in between the two. And especially
this
what we heard this weekend.
Can support a dome. If the argument for the NFL is about a dome, it can be built. I don't think we've thought big enough about south of Progressive Field. You know, I was coming down Broadway Orange today. You know, I'm looking at it and roads are movable. There are malleable parts of that plan. You could dig right into Orange Avenue and move it to the east and you can have your Brown Stadium right next to Progressive Field. So there's a lot of different land plays out there. And I realize to the listener, a lot of this is confusing and some of this is just let's cut to the quick, do the first thing, the easiest thing. But I think in history, we'll look back and say, why do we do that?
Will we really look back in history and say, why on earth do we do that?
We will
not
in one
on
way.
Earth, I guess.
We will in one way.
Okay, what?
If this math is completely bogus. And what Ronan said was the independent group, I forgot the name of the group, that went over the finances of this deal. They said, this doesn't add up at all. And in fact, especially if some of the politics change where he brought up one gubernatorial candidate is talking about getting rid of the income tax altogether, then the math definitely won't add up. Then we're going to be at a deficit, and they're going to have to go into the capital fund to be able to do this, which is something the current governor says absolutely not. Why would we subsidize the stadiums to this extent? So I will say, like, the Browns have to really prove that this is going to work financially, or we're all going to have to pay a bill. This is all going to be something we're going to be paying off. If that's the case. And I do think, by the way, that is the responsibility of the Browns to prove all that stuff. And do you feel that they have to this point? There are a lot of people that do not think this stuff adds up.
216-474-0092. But you're still, see, like, if you don't get, like, what I'm asking is, if you don't get your satisfaction to the exhaustive levels of what you want, but you're still pro-dome, like, is there something that's going to ever make you go, you know what, no, I don't want this, this is a loser, I want to keep him by the lakefront.
At the very least, I don't understand the urgency. Like, it has to be done right this instant.
Because that's when
these two sides, a lease can always be extended.
I understand that a lease can always be extended.
I do not buy the deadline of that lease. The Browns need a place to play football, and if they don't get the funding that they want by next month,
I know.
June is when it happens,
I know.
That Mike DeWine is going to be offered this once it's passed.
But I'm telling you what,
hold on.
Oh, okay.
If it doesn't, it doesn't get passed, Haslam said, well, we'll either have to go back to the drawing board or go back to the renovation stuff. No, this should not be the end of the discussion over the next 3 weeks. We do not have that kind of an urgency, I don't believe. I think there are a bunch of people saying there's urgency because they want a deal done.
I've done some number research, Anthony.
Yeah.
There are currently 9 domes in the NFL. I'm not counting the Superdome. That's 10th dome. But it's 50 years old, so I didn't put that in my numbers. Everything else was built between 99 and now. Just doing the averages, I'm not going to read them all off, but it comes out to 1,118 days if you average out the 9, ooh, right? Which means, when I put it into this calculator, if they break ground July 1st of 2026, it'll be opened in time for the start of the 2029 season. So we still have a year away from when they would have to break ground and to move into a dome when this lease is up.
What I think both...
We're still a year out, but I know they've set this. The governor set the deadline of this June, right? For money to talk about this.
Yes, this particular iteration. Plan.
I think the people in charge want to... I don't think they really want the Browns downtown. All right? Maybe Chris Renane does.
It really sounds like Chris Renane does not want this Brook Park thing to materialize at all.
I think the mayor and his team...
He wants them downtown more than the people who are in charge of downtown want them downtown.
Yes. But you know what? That's a great... I think he works downtown, but I think that that's about all he has in common with some of those folks. I think that a lot of them do not want it. And what I think is what would happen here, and this is why I'm trying to say it, why they're in a hurry. I don't think the Browns want to play in any other stadium other than either their stadium that they're playing in right now until the time comes for their dome. I don't think they want to play in Akron. I don't think they want to play in Columbus. You are not going to get 102,000 people sitting there. It's going to look weird. There's going to be a lot of things that have to happen. I don't think they want to play an hour and a half away with their players. I don't think they want to do anything like that. I don't know if there's any other place that they can play in. Are you going to put them in Tom Benson for a couple of years? Are we going to do something like they did with the Chargers when they played in the soccer stadium for a couple of seasons before SoFi was done? Are they going to do something like that? Like, I don't think that they want to do that. I don't think they want to address that. Or are they going to play in their soccer stadium that they have down there? Lower.com Field. I don't think they want to do any of those things. I think they want to play in their new stadium. And I think that the city wants to not have some holdover extended lease. I think they want to go, okay, you're done. Good. We're done here. The moment the Browns season ends for good in that year, that's when the wrecking balls come in. They want that stadium down and they want to start work on whatever project that they want to get moving on. Because I think that they have plans with different entities, or they're trying to come together with plans with different entities that they want to sell that space to, that they want to bring in there. And another year changes all that. Another year after that can change all that. So that's why I think that they're moving so quickly here.
Does it matter to you that all the polling we've seen on this shows that the people that have taken part in these polls,
of course it does,
in the region do not support
a
move
it does
to Brook Park?
But I think that some of that might be because the Browns are a 3-14 team.
Sure.
And I feel that for a lot of people, it's almost like a reward for a team that hasn't done well, where they can't vote on it. You've said it many times. What's done is done. Now it's left up to the financing of this.
Yeah, we've been left out of the process completely.
Do you believe if they were 14-3 instead of 3-14, it would be 60% against? Or do you think it would be 60% for? If they were a 14-3 football team, would it be something that people would be down with?
Probably more support, unless, I will say, unless you had like tangible outside playoff games where the weather has helped the Browns, then I think a bunch of people would say, why would we move and take away that advantage? But there's been simply no advantage to playing outside for the Browns over all this time.
That's kind of what I'm highlighting there.
Another concern for Renane that he brought up was how much already over budget the Buffalo Stadium is, and that's not a dome, but it's already like $800 million over budget.
Wouldn't that be another reason why they want to move quickly on this? Prices or costs are always going to go up.
Yeah, but then if they don't think the math works for the current price tag, who's going to make up for $800 million the overage? Like, where is that money coming from? Would the Haslams?
Would
the Haslams agree to that? That they will take care out of their pocket for any of that?
That might be a sticking point. I would imagine that they would have
What construction project is on budget? What percentage? So,
and on time.
We've got a few that could pull that off.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
Lot to think about.
That's what a great word that is.
Well, I wasn't going to think about it until
what
you
a great phrase.
That,
so. Oh, you got a lot to think about.
And you know what?
That's going to be your show on News Nation one day. A lot to think about with Anthony Lima, weeknights at 8.
I'm going
to
make pursed lips. I'm going to put my fingers up on my chin. A lot to think about. We'll see you tomorrow.
It's going to have you in like highlights of you and Bill O'Reilly.
We'll talk to you, Geraldo, tomorrow.
Are you going to give us a final thought?
Are you going to say take care of yourselves and each other?
Ooh, I like that. That's a good one.
R.I.P.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming and 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Taco to go, taco to,
and a big queue.
Taco to go, taco to go.
We just
quick trip taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal so fine. Risk it breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't
taco,
lose.
Taco to go, taco to,
this deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
Taco to go.